Chapter 5. "Are you sensing that too, Mariah?" I asked my sword spirit as I dashed down the ruined streets. "Is there really a dragon here in Lady?"
"It's impossible to be sure,"
Mariah answered.
"Though your instincts never seem to be wrong about these sorts of things."
Honestly, it made so much sense now. The specter was a dragon, which was how he was able to fly around, and it also explained how the gang could do this much damage, and why the city guard had had so much trouble trying to fight him. Too bad his days of easy victories had run out. "There's something I need to tell you all," I said as I slowed my pace a fraction to fall back among my companions. "I think the leader of the gang is a dragon."
"What?"
Calvin's face turned ghostly white, and he stumbled to a halt.
"In Leyte, surely that can't have slipped past us."
"Dragons are shapeshifters and are able to gain powers and abilities from those they vanquish,"
Aliona said as she quickly waddled up beside me.
"It would neither be impossible nor improbable for one to avoid detection."
"What can we do to kill it?"
Calvin questioned with a terrified expression. "Nothing," I growled, as my inner dragon roared internally at the thought of a human killing one of my kind. "We take him alive."
"Alive?"
Nike's grandfather scoffed.
"Forgive me for saying this, Lord Evan, but you are mad."
"We take him alive, or we don't take him at all. Your choice, Calvin." There was the possibility that this dragon wasn't acting of his own volition, like Iskander and many other enslaved or enchanted dragons I'd encountered before. I would reserve my judgment until I could determine this dragon's status and whether or not it was possible to stop and or help him. But if there wasn't, I would take him out myself. If he was enslaved, killing him would be a mercy, and he deserved a little dignity by being felled by a fellow dragon. Calvin stroked his beard as his tired silver eyes looked off at the burning city before him. I was sure he was pondering whether or not it was worth it to try and push back against my command. But Calvin was a smart ruler, and I was sure he would make the right decision. Eventually, the old man looked back at the city guard before he raised his fist to the sky and let out a loud grunt. The soldiers replied in unison, and then they began to march off in the direction Ravi had spotted the ruffians.
"This is where I leave you, then. Good luck, Lord Devon,"
Calvin said, as my friends started following the soldiers.
"Take care, Nikolaus."
"I'll see you when this is all over, Grandfather," Nike announced over his shoulder. "Go back and stay in the castle where you're safe."
Aliona went to take a step, but I instantly clicked my tongue and shook my head. "You're staying with Calvin, my love," I said to my wife, before I patted her growing belly. "It's too dangerous for you and the future king of Rama."
"I can help you from afar,"
Aliona offered with a worried frown.
"I do not wish to simply sit back and do nothing while you march into battle against another dragon."
"I've fought other dragons before," I assured her. "I will be okay. I swear I'll be back when this is all done. Hopefully with an unconscious dragon prisoner in tow. Do you think you could handle his power with a magic bond?"
"You still doubt my abilities?"
the beautiful priestess asked with a slight giggle.
"Bring him to me and I shall bind him so tightly that he will need to cut off his own hands to escape."
Now that was exactly what I wanted to hear. I leaned in and pressed my mouth against Aliona's soft, luscious lips, and we kissed passionately for a few seconds before I pulled away, stroked the side of her face gently, and sent her away with one last peck on the forehead. "I'll make this quick," I promised my wife. "Then I shall return to you and our child."
"You better,"
Aliona frowned, and I could sense she still wanted to come along with me. But thankfully, Calvin was there to back me up.
"Come, princess,"
the old man mumbled as he wrapped his arm around hers.
"We must head back immediately. With the city guard away from the palace, it would be foolish to remain outside with no protection."
Aliona reluctantly turned around before she and Calvin marched back to the golden door of his palace, which then began to open with a low grumble. The second the two figures were safely tucked away behind the palace walls, I turned back to the decrepit city and took off after my friends and the guards.
Thanks to my enhanced agility, I caught up with the rest of the group in no time flat, and the members of the city guard were flabbergasted to witness my speed in action. Soon I made it to the front of the entire group, where I then began to lead the charge toward the bandits attacking the city. The only problem now was figuring out which one of them was the leader. If they really were a traveling gang, they surely wouldn't have the dragon in their group singled out with any sort of special clothing or crowns, as that would make them stand out like a sore thumb. I might be able to smell his scent when I got close enough, but I also had a bad feeling that these guys weren't about to let me get close enough or give me enough time to sniff out the imposter. Then I got an idea. Maybe, just maybe, I could use one of my predation skills to find the hidden dragon.
It might work,
Mariah suddenly interjected.
Your precognition powers could possibly lead you to the correct target, and then you wouldn't have to waste time trying to identify them.
It's like you're reading my mind, I joked to the woman in my spiritual sea. It had been a little while since I'd used the precognition ability I'd gotten from defeating Rana, the spirit bonded to the mystical artifact known as the Sundex. But there was no better time than the present for some experimentation. It took me a minute to figure out how to best proceed, but I summoned up a swell of power from deep within my spiritual sea and tried to focus on where I wanted to go. Sure enough, a burst of golden magic erupted from my body and then twisted out into a straight line on the ground before me. And I knew if I followed this path, it would take me right to the dragon we were looking for. The guards, my friends, and I all continued down the streets of Lady until finally my ears picked up the sound of voices from afar.
Please!
A man's voice blubbered through a bit of a gurgle, and I was sure this meant he'd been beaten and was bleeding.
I told you I don't have any more coin. I'm a simple chessberry farmer.
You can't be too poor if you have a booth in the market,
another person's voice hissed.
You'd better start talking, or we might just have to destroy another one of your carts, won't we?
Oh, fuck these assholes. They were nothing but a bunch of bullies looking to steal from those who were too weak to defend themselves. And that kind of shit wasn't going to be tolerated in my cities. I rounded a corner and found myself face to face with the band of bastards laying waste to the city. There were roughly 50 of them, as Calvin had estimated. And the group was made up of a healthy mixture of humans and demi-humans that ranged from wolves, lizards, leopards, bears, and even a few that looked kind of bat-like. I didn't care about them, though, because the golden path before me led straight to a single man at the far right side of the gang. He stood a little over 6 feet tall, with dark, greasy black hair pulled back behind his head into a simple samurai-style ponytail. His yellow eyes seemed to shimmer under the light of Rama's three moons, and on his body he wore a simple sleeveless tan tunic tied off around the waist. The man's arms and legs were completely exposed, and it didn't take me long to home in on the small, textured bits of gray that dotted his arms and legs. Scales. That was definitely our dragon.
"In the name of Lord Calvin, the Lord of Lady," one of the city guardsmen bellowed, "I command you to cease your heinous activities and turn yourselves in before you make things even more messy."
"I am sure that'll work,"
Aaliyah grumbled as she bared her fangs at the group of ruffians.
"Did you hear that?"
a cocky bear demi-human scoffed.
"The city guard is threatening us."
All of the thugs began to snicker at the man's weak threat.
"Looks like we'll have to teach them a lesson about messing with the gray scabbard,"
one of the human men growled as he cracked his knuckles. "Last fucking chance," I warned, as I held the sword of Hatra tight and took an offensive stance. "I am Lord Evan of Hatra, future king of Rama and noble of the Sword of Healing. Stand down immediately or suffer my wrath."
"Really?" one of the wolf demi-humans laughed. "Are you hearing this, brothers?"
All right. It wasn't like I didn't give them a warning.
"I'll take care of the leader," I barked out to my allies. "You guys handle the rest."
"With pleasure, brother,"
Nike growled, and then he held out his sword above his head.
For Leyte!
The city guard repeated Nike's battle cry before they all charged forward, and the fight began. The sound of metal on metal, swishing arrows, and magical blasts filled the air, and I took off at a full sprint toward the dragon before me. Strangely enough, he had remained silent throughout the entire confrontation, which didn't exactly strike me as good leadership. Then again, he was the leader of a gang of violent thugs, so I didn't exactly expect too much from him in terms of diplomacy. The gray dragon cocked his head to the right as he watched me approaching, but he didn't seem frazzled whatsoever. Instead, he fucking smiled, like he was happy to have the challenge. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Laika cut down a human man with her sword, while Ravi annihilated two others with a fiery blast. These guys may have stood a chance against a bunch of powerless city guardsmen, but they didn't stand a chance against my friends. A big, burly bear demi-human roared as he came at me with his ham-sized fists, but I simply ducked his attack and then took off his right leg with a swipe of my sword. He bellowed in pain as he fell to the ground, but I paid him no further attention as I pressed on toward the other dragon. Then two more attackers tried to step in between the specter and I, and they both brandished short bows. There was a quick thwip as the two arrows were released from their strings, and I instantly sidestepped to the left as the projectiles swished past my head. Next, I summoned a fire dagger into my left hand, called upon my precision targeting ability, and then hurled the flaming weapon straight for the man on the right. It stabbed into his throat, and his eyes went wide as he began to gurgle, but any sounds he made were quickly silenced when his entire body caught on fire. The second man began to fumble at his quiver as I approached, but he was nowhere near fast enough. I transformed the fire in my open hand into a flaming whip, which I then tossed forward and around my opponent's hand. He screamed in agony as the sound and smell of burning flesh filled the air, and then I gave the whip a good yank and pulled him toward me, right into the point of the sword of Hatra. The man's eyes rolled back in his head as my blade pierced his stomach, and he went limp as I tossed him to the side to bleed out. Still, the enemy dragon remained as cool as a cucumber as he stood his ground. In fact, he now wore an amused smirk on his face. "You're the Spectre," I growled as I closed the gap between us. "Such a dumb name," the man said in a low, raspy voice. And for the first time, I noticed the long, horizontal scar that encircled his neck. "I am not a spirit." "Maybe not now," I warned. "But you will be soon if you don't surrender." I took a swing at the specter with my blade, but he was quick to parry as he pulled a spear that was strapped to his back and made a forward strike at my chest. I was able to sidestep the blow, but I felt the hot cut of the spear's blade as it grazed across my right arm. Thankfully, my automatic healing ability closed the wound up in a flash, and I got back to work trying to take this bastard down. He blocked my next attack with the hilt of his spear, but that was exactly what I'd expected him to do. I quickly removed my right hand from my sword hilt, launched a bit of fiery whip down around my enemy's leg, and yanked it out from under him. The specter let out a grunt as he fell down on his back, and then I concentrated my rock magic and brought forth four small tendrils from the ground. They wrapped around the dragon like straps on a gurney and held him firmly in place. And before my opponent could make another move, I hauled back the butt of my sword and slammed into his face as hard as I could, which caused his head to whip back but didn't knock him out like I'd hoped.
"You are starting to get on my nerves," the dragon hissed as he glared up at me.
Suddenly, giant bony spikes erupted from the sides of my opponent's arms and legs, and they cut through the rocky restraints as if they were made of cardboard. Then the gray dragon sprang back up to his feet and lashed out at me with one of the spikes, and I was just able to knock it away with my sword. I created a fire shield with my free hand right as the specter attacked again, and there was a hailstorm of sparks as my barrier blocked the attack. The sword of Hatra blocked another swing from his spear before I hopped over his attempt to sweep my leg. And I realized I needed to get back on the offensive if I wanted to win this fight. I briefly thought about trying to wrap him up with my web or with some vines. But if the spines were strong enough to cut through rock, then neither of those restraints would be of any use. Likewise, my fire wasn't going to do much good, considering he was a literal dragon. Petrification was worth a shot. I parried my opponent's blow, and then I leaned in close to his body and sprayed a yellow mist straight into his face. The specter began to hack and cough as he stumbled backward and swung his spear wildly in front of his body. But his attacks came nowhere close to landing, and I knew this was my best shot at taking him down. I sprang forward as I turned my sword in my hands, and then I slammed the flat edge of my weapon into the specter's head hard. He let out one final gasp before he collapsed to the ground and went rigid. For a moment, I wondered if I had gone too far and had accidentally killed him, so I checked his status. Classification: Dragon. Condition: Petrified, minor concussion. Priority: Minor. Danger: None. Status: Unconscious, will heal with time. Okay, so it looked like he wasn't corrupted or enchanted, and I also hadn't killed him. Unfortunately, I couldn't say the same thing for some of his buddies. I looked over to see Nike unload a blinding flash of light from his sword, and several of the gang members screamed as they covered their eyes. Sky was right next to the noble, so she took full advantage of the opportunity. Sky held out the Sword of Youth before her, channeled her energy into it, and then unleashed its full power. Several bolts of red lightning blasted from the tip of the blade like a Tesla coil and plunged directly into the chests of several of the ruffians, and they all began to tremble and shake as the magic electricity coursed through their bodies. Then they collapsed into a heap on the ground. Meanwhile, Ravi was lighting up gang members like it was the 4th of July. The phoenix kept her distance as she dive-bombed her opponents from above and swished out of the way of their arrows, and she returned the favor with a fiery blast that engulfed the men below in its horrific heat. Nokomis was on the other side of the battlefield, and I could hear her pleading with her opponents as she blocked their attacks.
"Please!"
the snow leopard demi-human begged.
"I do not wish to kill you, but you are forcing my hand!"
"Just shut up and die, bitch!"
the wolf demi-human she was fighting snarled. Nokomis ducked underneath his attack before she came up with the claws of her left hand, and I watched with amusement as she stabbed them into her opponent's throat, pulled back, and ripped out his Adam's apple with a spray of blood and gore. The man's eyes widened as he fumbled with the wound on his throat, and then he crumpled to the ground.
"Remember,"
Nokomis grumbled to the dying man as she flicked the blood and gore off her fingers.
"You made me do that."
All around me, the tide of the battle was turning in our favor. The city guardsmen had overtaken several of the thugs, who they now had pinned on the ground with their hands and feet bound behind their backs. Other gang members, though, weren't so lucky. Several bodies littered the streets of Lady. And it was only going to get worse as these guys became more desperate. I needed to end this battle right now. I checked to make sure the specter was still unconscious before I leapt up into the air and transformed myself into my dragon form. And I heard several gasps from down below as I flew up above the battle and then let out a long, earth-shaking roar.
"Enough!"
I thundered down at the city.
"Your leader is defeated and you are outmatched. Surrender right now and I will heal your wounded and spare your lives. This is a losing battle you are fighting, gray scabbards."
Slowly but surely, the sounds of the fight ceased, and several of the bandits looked up at me in awe.
You won't kill us," one of them shouted.
"Not unless you keep trying to kill us and keep terrorizing innocent people," I warned. "I can promise no harm will come to you under my supervision, though you are still all criminals and will face justice for what you have done here." "So we're going to die anyways,"
a gruff-looking man yelled.
"May as well go down fighting."
He quickly pulled an arrow from his quiver, aimed up at me, and released. I scoffed before I unleashed a small blast of fire from my mouth and used my targeting powers to aim at the arrow itself. The wooden projectile went up in smoke, but then I continued the blast as I aimed it at the man who dared to attack me. He screamed as the flames engulfed his body, and then he was nothing but a pile of ash and bone fragments.
"Anybody else?"
I roared down at the gray scabbards, who now looked completely terrified. One by one, they started to lay down their weapons and raise their hands in the air, to which the city guard responded by binding their appendages with ropes.
"That's what I thought!"
I exhaled a plume of smoke, and then I flew back down to the ground and turned back into my human form. The battle was over, and we had won. Of course, it would all be for nothing if I didn't get the specter back to Aliona for a proper magical binding. I had some questions for him.
"That was impressive, Lord Evan,"
Aaliyah giggled as she walked up and put her hands on my chest.
"You know I love it when you show off big displays of power like that."
"It was very intimidating," Nike added as he suddenly appeared at my other side. "I almost laid down my own weapon at your behest, brother."
"Come on," I chuckled, and I rolled my eyes. "Help me carry this unconscious guy back to the palace."
"Is this the leader?"
Aaliyah's orange eyes narrowed as she looked down at the gray specter.
"The dragon?"
"Sure is," I said with a nod.
"Why didn't he change?"
Nike pondered aloud.
"I would have thought he'd use his dragon abilities to his full advantage in a situation like this."
"Overconfidence is a hell of a drug," I mumbled as I lifted the specter off the ground and tossed him over my shoulder.
"Poor bastard probably thought he was just dealing with a run-of-the-mill human warrior when I came at him, so he figured he would take me out without changing."
"Well, he was wrong,"
Aaliyah smirked, and her golden lion tail flicked behind her with amusement.
"Very, very wrong."
I chuckled, and then I tilted back my head and unleashed a large, glittery rainbow spray up into the air. Unlike most of the times I used my healing ability, I did not command it to differentiate between friend and foe. Rather, the sparkling mist covered the entire battlefield, and I could feel the energy pulsing through the ground as it healed everybody who was still alive.
"Thank you, Lord Evan,"
one of the guardsmen said with a grin before he gestured to the surviving gray scabbards.
"We shall take this filth to the dungeons where they will await further judgment."
"And I'm taking this guy back to the palace," I explained as I adjusted the unconscious dragon on my shoulder.
"I've still got some work to do on him."
Without another word, my friends followed me back to the palace, and we all kept a watchful eye on the literal sleeping dragon on my shoulder. The guards up on the city wall opened up the gates as we approached, and then the golden door of the palace rumbled as they opened inward to reveal the interior of the building. Aliona and Calvin both came rushing out into the main room when they heard us arrive, and the old Lord of Lady let out a gasp when he saw the man in our possession.
"Is that him?"
Calvin asked with wide eyes.
"The dragon?"
"It is," I said with a nod, and then I tossed the unconscious man down onto the floor. "And we need to get him bound before he wakes up. He wasn't that hard to subdue the first time, but I don't want any more complications. How does this work?"
"Step back,"
Aliona warned as she approached the man's unconscious body and bowed her head. We all obliged the priestess, but we stayed close enough so we could watch her work her magic.
"I hope she's strong enough to do this,"
Nokomis gulped quietly beside me, and she wrung her hands as she stared at the priestess.
"I can already sense the burning rage inside of this man, and I'd hate to see what he can do when he's in his dragon form."
"Our princess is stronger than people know," I said with confidence, "and we're here to help if need be."
"Gods above and gods below,"
Aliona mumbled.
"Upon mine enemy bestow your bindings to keep him subdued. Magic within me, shine thine hue. We call upon your powers now. Make our enemy be bound."
As Aliona finished her incantation, she knelt down and placed both her open palms against the specter. The second she did so, pure white energy irradiated from her hands and spread around the dragon's body like a second skin, and he seemed to tense up as it firmed in place. Finally, Aliona opened her eyes, stood up, and stepped back to admire her work. All the while, the dragon simply laid there with a thin layer of the magical binding over his skin.
Did it work?
Calvin asked through a tense jaw.
Can he break free?
He will certainly try,
Aliona shrugged.
But he won't get very far. That is the most powerful binding spell we've found in the archives, as it was used for this very purpose.
To hold an enemy at bay?
The Lord of Lady asked.
No.
My wife's amethyst eyes narrowed, and she pursed her lips as she shot me an apologetic look.
It was made specifically to bind a dragon.
Good work. I smiled at my beautiful priestess before I gave her a pat on the shoulder and turned to the old man. Where can we put him in the meantime? I don't want him around the other prisoners.
There is a single-room dungeon in the lowest levels of the palace, Calvin explained. Grandson, do you remember where it is?
Of course I do, Grandfather, Nike nodded. I shall take him there immediately.
I suppose your work here is done, then?
Calvin sighed and hung his head.
You shall all return to Hatra immediately.
No. I shook my head and then pointed down at the unconscious man. I still have some unfinished business with this one. Also, I'm not going to just abandon you in your time of need.
What?
The old man's eyes lit up with hope.
You are going to stay?
I'm going to help you rebuild, I explained. It is the least we can do, considering all the help you've given us in the past. Tears started to stream down Calvin's cheeks as he fell down to his knees and took my right hand with both of his.
Thank you, Lord Evan,
he said through a soft sob.
We do not deserve you as a king.
I'm not king yet, I reminded the old man. I'm just a concerned dragon who wants to help out his friends, and your city could really use our help.
I shall summon our architects right away, Calvin noted, and he jumped back to his feet. They will be thrilled to hear that you will assist us.
And I'll take this heathen to the dungeon, Nike said, as he picked up the fallen dragon. Do you want us to meet back here once I'm all done?
I opened my mouth to answer, but Aaliyah quickly cut me off.
I believe Lord Evan has a prior engagement.
The lion woman giggled and twirled her tail around her finger.
Though he shouldn't be long.
Prior? Oh. Nike's face twisted into a frown as his cheeks colored.
Right. I'll leave you to it then.
Nike turned, and then he began to march the specter toward the staircase that led down to the lower levels of the palace.
Come, my friends,
Calvin waved as he headed for the golden doors of the palace.
We must make haste if we want to rebuild.
You guys go on without us,
Aaliyah said, and my heart began to race at the thought of what the sexy lioness had planned.
Don't take too much of his energy,
Nokomis said with a wink, before she followed Calvin. Ravi and Laika followed the leopard woman, which just left Sky, Aliona, Aaliyah, and I alone in the room.
What?
Why did you want to stay behind? I asked, as my cock began to throb in my pants.
You already know why,
Aliona giggled.
We wanted to share you.
Come with us, Lord Evan,
Sky whispered, and then she turned and walked toward the staircase that led up to the residential floors of the palace. Aliona and Aaliyah both took the tattooed woman's arms, and the three sexy women giggled as they beckoned for me to follow. Even though I knew what they wanted, my mind raced with the thought of filling each and every one of them with my dragon seed and marking them as mine once more. And that was exactly what I was going to do.